Hi Sarah, welcome and thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to allow you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
Well, my name is Sarah Cunningham and I am a mom to two boys. I have one that has graduated from high school and one still in high school, and I work as a nurse and I am a beekeeper, which is something that a lot of people are not, and it's kind of fun to talk about it.
That's fascinating. So how did you get into beekeeping?
Well, when my kids were younger, we did homeschool, and so we explored a bunch of different avenues. We got to do a lot of different experiments and go and see animals in different places. And one thing I always found fascinating were bees, but I didn't know anyone who was a beekeeper. I did a lot of research online, but I really wasn't sure what to do. And when I looked at it, it seemed a little bit expensive to just jump off into it with not having knowledge or a mentor or anybody else. And one Christmas, my husband decided to buy me a beehive, the woodware for it, for Christmas. So it kind of was like my permission to jump into learning about bees.
That is the sweetest, most thoughtful gift ever. What a darling husband. So this was the backbone for the beginning of your adventures. So where did that one hive lead you?
So sweet man went to the feed store and bought me a hive, and the more research I did let me know that that probably was not the best hive to have, but it still gave me permission to go ahead and start. So I started looking online and I found someone locally who, due to life circumstances, was having to get out of beekeeping. So I used the money from returning the hive and purchased all of her used stuff, which gave me a ton more and a lot of knowledge from her of what things I truly needed and what did not, or what I did not need.
So what were those kind of things that you needed as a basis to get started with beekeeping?
Well, you need the woodware, you need the hive, and then you need a couple of tools, and you need a little canister thing called a smoker, because the smoke helps calm the bees, and then the most important thing is you need a bee suit.
Wonderful. That brings me on to another question I had, was safety measures. You think of bees and you think of sting. How do you, as a beekeeper, keep yourself safe?
Well, when I walk out and look at my hives, if I'm not wearing a bee suit, I stand a little distance away because there was a flight pattern. And as long as you are not in their flight pattern, they're not going to bug you. So I can go out and stand and observe my bees, seeing what are they bringing in based on the color that I'm seeing, what type of pollen, and not have to be in my bee suit. But anytime that I'm actually getting up in right next to the hive or opening the hive, I have to have my bee suit on at all times.
What does a bee suit consist of?
There's two different types. There's one that's actually kind of like a jumpsuit that's from your ankles all the way to your head, and you wear gloves. That's the type I prefer to wear. Some people choose just to wear a jacket with gloves, but I am not the type that wants to take the chance of anything stinging me on my lower half. So
that sounds wise.
I'll pass on that one. But there are some beekeepers that don't mind and do it that way.
That's incredible. I'm so fascinated by this process. I want to bring you back when you were talking about flight patterns. How do you see your hive's flight patterns? Is that basic observation?
Yes, basic observation. And I also, when I was getting into beekeeping, I joined a local bee club, which meets once a month. They're all over the country. Every county has one. You just have to look and find where it is. And those people helped me learn a ton of stuff and helped me not make as many mistakes. You're always making mistakes and you learn from your mistakes, but what things work and don't work in this area. Because what works up north is not going to work here in Texas. So when we have bee club, we go over a lot of information. We talk about different flight patterns, different resources, what you need to do to be successful, and things like that.
Could you tell us a few basic differences, for example, between north and south in the states that you're aware of?
So beekeepers up north, their season for which pollen is available to their bees is much longer. So think about it. Where do we get a lot of our fresh fruit? Let's think about, say, Washington State, where there's blueberries and strawberries and raspberries and all other kinds of produce that they harvest up there. They have a much longer window versus here in Texas. We have a very short amount of time where the heat goes up very, very quickly, and the flowers stop producing pollen. The trees stop producing pollen. So here in Texas, we call it dearth is what the term is. But dearth is where there's not going to be any more resources for your bees. And here in Texas, it falls right around July 4th. So the big difference is the hives up north, they get much taller. They're able to have a lot more resources brought in because their season is much, much longer than ours. Versus our season here really is just from spring until July. And after that, if we want to help out our hives, we have to artificially feed them.
That's brilliant. There's so much you don't think of when you're on the same landmass, yet there's such a wide range in weather and the effects. So tell me about harvesting. We know that bees are going to produce honey. Tell me more about this. What about colors and texture? Does that change in the area that you're harvesting? What's it like for you? I'm so curious.
So my first year of beekeeping, I chose not to harvest any of my honey. Couple of reasons for that. First of all, I started with two hives in May, which is kind of the beginning of when you're getting new bees here in Texas. And if you take away too much of their resource, which is the honey, that's what keeps them healthy through the winter, because they can't fly out and find resources to eat, then you risk your bees not making it through the winter. So I was way too nervous to do it that first year. The other thing is fall honey tends to be a little bit, have more of a bitter taste here in Texas than spring honey. So I chose not to do any fall honey my first year. My second year, I did decide to do harvesting from my hives. And between my two hives, I was able to harvest about 5 gallons of honey.
Wow, that's amazing. Did it taste good?
Yes. I was a little nervous because I've tasted some of the other beekeepers' fall honey, and it's good, but it has a little bit of a bad aftertaste sometimes. But mine, spring honey, was great. And everyone gives me a little bit different description of what it tastes like. So it really depends on what your bees are flying to. So around here, my bees are mostly bringing whatever the farmers are growing nearby and from the different oak trees. The bees get a lot of pollen from the oak trees here.
Incredible. Is beekeeping quite a time-consuming hobby for you?
Yes and no. It does take time, as in when I'm going to go out and go through my hives, which currently my goal is to manage 2 to 3 hives. It'll take me an hour to an hour and a half to go through my hives. That being said, I'm only in my hives every 1 to 2 weeks during the busy season. During the winter time, you're completely hands off because you cannot open the hive during the winter because they have to be able to stay warm. So it's kind of like a hobby that's only 50% of the year. And the rest of the time, you're just hoping and praying that your hives make it on through the winter.
That's absolutely amazing. Tell me your favorite aspects of beekeeping.
It is my me time. So that being said, when I'm out there working on my hives, it's just me. It's kind of quiet. I work in a very busy, chaotic job and managing kids and helping with homework and all that. And it's kind of my peace and quiet time. But at the same time, I've got to meet so many interesting people. I cannot tell you how much I talk about Bee Club and the people that I've met there, because this is a generation of people that if we don't get their knowledge from them, what are we going to do later? Because many of these people are third and fourth generation beekeepers, and they have way more knowledge than any book could ever have.
Getting out there is incomparable, and that generation to generation learning is what we have to foster that. And I think that's so wonderful that you're out there and helping us all learn on a deeper scale. Thank you so much for that. Is there a chore involved that maybe you're just not so keen on when it comes to beekeeping?
I think the biggest thing would be doing hive inspections when it is super, super hot here in Texas. So when it's over 100 degrees and you have to wear that suit and you're out there and you're sweating and there are bees flying around there, it can get a little frustrating. But you can still do it because you have a passion and you just kind of work towards maybe it would be better for me to go out as soon as the sun goes up. So going out at 8 a.m. is probably going to be much more pleasant than trying to go at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So usually there's about a month there where I'm like, oh my goodness, why am I doing this? What am I doing this for? But as soon as it starts cooling down and as soon as I harvest some honey, it is well worth it.
It's always well worth it, isn't it, when you've got a passion like that? Do you have any advice for someone eager to try beekeeping for themselves?
So before you jump off into purchasing all kinds of things and maybe buying items that you don't need, the best thing you need to do, or the number one thing you need to do, is find a mentor. Finding a bee mentor is priceless because they will let you know what really works in your area and what doesn't work in your area. I'm super fortunate and I have two different bee mentors and they do things two different ways because everyone has a little bit different tweak of how they do beekeeping. But between the two beekeepers, I've been quite successful for a beginning beekeeper. And there's no way I could have done any of that without the help of other people.
There's something so special about connecting with others and learning from their passions and bringing it to something that's really important to your heart too. How wonderful. Sarah, thank you so much for your time today. Here at Curio, we always like to wrap up with one final question. What animal would you be and why?
I think I would be a bear. Now, my reason behind that is I do not like to be cold. They have a lot of fur and they get to take great naps when they hibernate. And I am all about a good nap.
I could absolutely go for a nap right now. Sarah, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Curio from Harbor and Sprout, a place to discover, adventure, and journey together. Explore the Cabinet of Curiosities at www.harbourandsprout.com/pages/curio. We love to hear from our family. Send a message to our social media accounts or get involved around the Curio campsite. See you again soon for more exciting experiences to share together.